Title: Printing Break Layers to Audio Early Intermediate. All right, in this lesson we're going to level up your drum and bass workflow in Ableton Live by doing something that feels almost too simple: printing your break layers to audio early. And I don't mean at the end when the track is basically done. I mean early. Once the groove is in the right zone and the sound is roughly where you want it, we commit, we print, and we move forward. Because in drum and bass, the drums aren't just drums. They're an instrument, a stack, a whole moving machine made of a break, reinforcement, tops, ghosts, textures, and if you keep all of that as a bunch of live devices forever, you'll end up fighting CPU, latency, and then endless one more tweak mindset. Printing flips you into a more old-school, hands-on, audio-driven way of working, but you still get all the control of modern Ableton editing. You can slice, nudge, rearrange, make fills, do resampled distortion, and actually get to arrangement faster. By the end, you'll have a rolling DNB drum stack, and a clean, repeatable way to print it so you can build variations and heavier sections without getting stuck. Let's set the session up first so everything you print lines up perfectly. Set your tempo somewhere between 172 and 176 BPM. I'll sit at 174. Now go to Preferences, Record Warp Launch. A really helpful move for break work is turning auto warp long samples off, because you're going to warp the break manually and you don't want Ableton making weird guesses. Also, make sure warp fades are on. That helps avoid clicks later, especially when you start chopping. One more boring but important thing: create a folder inside your project for printed drums. Something like Project, Samples, Printed Drums. You're going to thank yourself later when you have V1, V2, V3 prints and you're not hunting through random recorded takes. Now let's build the drum structure. Create a group track and name it Drum Bus. Inside it, create four tracks: break, kick, snare, tops, and ghosts. We're doing a layered approach, but we're keeping it organized from the jump. Also, notice, we're leaning toward audio workflow here. Even if you use MIDI for the one-shots, breaks in DNB get fast and surgical when they're audio. Next, the break layer. This is where a lot of people either win or lose the whole groove. Drop a break onto the break track. Amen. Think, Hot Pants Any Classic will do. Open the clip and turn warp on. For warp mode, you've got two common choices. Complex Pro is safe for full breaks, but for drum and bass edits, Beats mode is often the money move because it respects transients and stays punchy. If you choose Beats, set Preserve to Transients and keep the envelope around 100 to start. Now, the keyed alignment move. Set your 1.1.1 marker exactly on the first real downbeat transient. Not close enough. Exactly. Set your loop to 1 or 2 bars. 2 bars is kind of the sweet spot for DNB because it naturally contains variation. Then warp it properly, but don't overdo it. The goal is, the main kick and snare anchors are solid, but the internal ghost notes and shuffle keep their personality. If you warp every single little hit perfectly to the grid, you'll get a break that feels like it's been drained of life. A quick target you can use: the snare on 2 and 4 should hit confidently. The little in-between stuff can be loose. That looseness is the funk. Now let's add modern reinforcement underneath, because breaks alone often don't have that current punch. On the kick snare track, you can go two ways: put one shots directly as audio or load a drum rack and program MIDI. Drum rack is usually faster for this. Put your kick on C1, snare on D1. Program the classic, kick on 1, snare on 2 and 4. If you want extra drive, add an extra kick before the snare, but keep it taste dependent. Too many kicks and you lose the roll. For processing on this reinforcement track, keep it simple and purposeful. Start with EQ8. For the kick, you might add a little weight around 50 to 80 Hz if it needs it, and cut mud around 200 to 400. For the snare, shape body around 180 to 240, and add crack somewhere around 3 to 6K if it needs more bite. Then drum bus is perfect here. Drive somewhere like 5 to 15, transients up a bit, maybe plus 5 to plus 20. Boom can stay subtle because in DNB, your real sub weight usually belongs to the bass, not your drum bus boom knob. Then a saturator, soft sine or analog clip. Drive maybe 2 to 6 dB. Soft clip on if you want controlled aggression. Now tops. Add a tight hat loop or program hats. The big rule: high pass aggressively. Use EQ8 and roll off somewhere between 200 and 400 Hz depending on the loop. Tops should be crisp rhythm, not low mid clutter. If you want movement, auto-filter with a subtle LFO at 1/8 or 1/16 can add life, without changing the pattern. And if your hats are getting too wide and messy, utility can narrow them. Widening is cool, but only if it's clean. Now ghosts. This is the stuff that makes your drums feel like they're running, not marching. Rim clicks, muted snares, little Foley ticks. Keep it quiet but intentional. A simple delay at 1/16 with low feedback can create that tick-tick motion. A tiny room reverb can add glue, but high-pass the reverb so it doesn't fog up the low mids. At this point you have your four layers. Now we do light drum bus processing. Light, not final mix, not mastering, not make it loud. This stage is glue plus headroom. On the drum bus, start with EQ8. If it's muddy, a gentle cut around 250 to 400, like 1 or 2 dB. If it's harsh, a small shelf down around 8 to 10k can calm it. Then glue compressor. Try attack around 3 milliseconds, release on auto or somewhere like 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, ratio 2:1. You're aiming for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. Not crushing, just cohesion. Optionally, a bit of soft clipping with saturator. Drive 1 to 4 dB, soft clip on. The idea is to tame spikes, not flatten the groove. Now, before we print, a couple pro workflow checks so your prints are bar perfect every time. Set global quantization to 1 bar. That way, when you record or launch clips, they start clean on the grid. Make sure you start recording exactly at 1.1.1. Stop exactly on a bar line. Then consolidate the recording. Consolidate is what makes your printed audio behave like a proper instrument clip you can chop anywhere. Also in the options menu, turn on create fades on clip edges. This saves you from tiny clicks when you later do micro chops. And one more important sanity check, if you have heavy third-party plugins with look ahead, linear phase modes, or big oversampling, sometimes things can feel late or weird when stacked. Ableton does delay compensation well, but if something feels off, bypass those heavy latency devices before you print, just to confirm the groove is actually landing right. Now we're ready to print. You've got three reliable methods in Ableton. I'll walk you through all three, but I want you to pick one as your default so you're fast. Method A is resampling to a new audio track. It's the fastest and it captures exactly what you're hearing. Create a new audio track and name it Print Drums. Set audio from to resampling. Arm it. Now solo the drum bus, or mute everything else in your project so you're only printing drums. Record 8 or 16 bars. I recommend 16, because it gives you natural variation to cut from. When you're done, select the recorded region and consolidate. Rename it something like Drums Print 174 BPM 16 bars V1. That naming is not optional if you want to stay sane. Add versions V1, V2, V3. Commitment is good. Losing options is not. Method B is freeze and flatten. This is more controlled for printing individual layers, like printing the break with its effects, or tops with their effects, without committing the whole drum stack. Right-click the break track, freeze track, right-click again, flatten. Now it's printed audio and the devices are baked in. Method C is exporting stems. This is the most controlled, and the slowest, but it's great for collaboration or archiving. Set the loop braces to your target length, like 16 bars. Export audio/video, rendered track, all individual tracks, or selected tracks only. Make sure the render start and end are exactly on bar lines. Cool. Now here's the fun part. Once you have your printed drum audio, you can actually work like a drum editor. This is where the D&B sauce lives. First, slicing for fills and variation. Duplicate your printed clip to a new track called Print Drums Edits. Right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. Pick Transient Slicing. Now you've got slices mapped to a drum rack, and you can re-trigger them to create stutters, snare rushes, classic amen turnarounds, quick dropouts, all without touching the original layered mess. Second, arrangement using printed audio. Try a simple call and response structure. For example, bars 1 to 2 full groove, bars 3 to 4 remove some hats or ghosts, bars 5 to 6 bring the energy back, bars 7 to 8 add a fill. You can do this by literally cutting regions of the printed clip and consolidating them into new clips named drums A 2 bars, drums B 2 bars no tops, drums fill 1 bar. Teacher tip. If you want your track to sound like it progresses without rewriting drum patterns, do processing call and response. Keep the same loop, but every 2 bars make it slightly darker, narrower, or less transient Y, then bring it back. Your brain hears movement even if the rhythm stays consistent. Third, micro timing and phase. Printed audio makes this faster because you can see the transient. Zoom in on the snare transient. If the break snare and your reinforcement snare are flaming, it'll sound wide but weak. That's usually timing or phase alignment. You can nudge the reinforcement track earlier a few milliseconds, or use track delay. Try negative 5 to negative 15 milliseconds on the kick snare layer if it feels late, or delay the break slightly if it's too ahead. Small moves, a few milliseconds is the difference between this slaps and why is it not hitting. Now let's talk about printing in stages, because this is a workflow that scales. Instead of only doing one big print, you can build a print ladder. Stage 1. Layer prints. Print the break. Print the kick snare reinforcement. Print tops. This gives you flexibility to rebalance later without reopening heavy chains. Stage 2. Drum boss print. Print the full stack together, clean and glued. Stage 3. Destruction print. This is where you resample your aggressive parallel chain, your distortion, your crush, your weirdness. And a really smart safety move. Duplicate your drum boss and mute it. Name it drum boss safe. If you go too far and regret an aggressive print, you can rebuild quickly without digging through undo history. Now a few heavier DNB tricks you can do specifically because you printed. Parallel distortion print. Duplicate the drum bus. Call it drum crush. Put a chain like saturator in analog clip, then drum bus, then EQ8 with a high pass around 120Hz, then glue compressor. Blend that crushed layer quietly under the clean drums, somewhere like minus 18 to minus 10 dB depending on taste. Then print the blend. That's how you get that dense techie grime without destroying your core punch. HB before drive trick. If your distortion keeps turning your kick into a splat, put a EQ8 before distortion and high pass around 80 to 140Hz. Maybe cut a pit around 250 to 400 to reduce cardboard. Then distort, then EQ again to rebalance. This keeps aggression punchy instead of mushy. Derrido discipline. On your printed drums, add utility and mono the bass region around 120 to 180Hz. Keeping low punch centered makes your drums hit harder and makes your bass easier to place. Negative space edits. Instead of adding more hits, remove tiny slices. Cut a 1/16 right before snare 2 or 4. The tiny silence makes the snare feel louder when it returns, even at the same level. And if your print feels too one piece, do a topless automation trick. This audio version is shortened for playback.